ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। एवं एतन् महाभाग यथावदसि देहिनां अज्ञान प्रभवाहं धी स्वापरेति विदायतः एवं।
ट्रांसलेशन प्रपर्ड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ ग्रेट पर्सनालिटी कंसा, ओनली बाय द इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ इग्नोरेंस does one accept the material body and bodily ego. What you have said about this philosophy is correct. Persons in the bodily concept of life, lacking self-realization, differentiate in terms of this is mine and this belongs to another. Purport: everything is done automatically by the laws of nature, which work under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no question of doing anything independently for one who has put himself in this material atmosphere is fully under the control of nature's laws. And main business, therefore, should be to get out of this conditioned life and again become situated in spiritual existence. Only due to ignorance does a person think, I am a demigod, I am a human being, I am a dog, I am a cat, or when the ignorance is still further advanced, I am God. Unless one is fully self-realized, one's life of ignorance will continue. Kansa, this very powerful, tyrannical person, whose heart is full of malicious intent to kill and destroy, is for a small period of time speaking words of wisdom. By the supernatural, mystical and extraordinary appearance of Durga Devi in the most unexpected time, at in the prison house, his own prison house, and seeing her fierce and majestic, formidable form, for a while, Kamsa was in a state of shock, and his false ego became numb. He was not anymore acting on the level of false ego. He just acted on the nature of his inner spiritual nature. When you get hit by something, it may not pain immediately. It becomes numb. You don't feel anything. Right? So he was hit, and all the while his false ego was in action, but now his false ego is numb. It's too much for the false ego to take. He's just shocked. Yeah? To see somebody on a lion with trident and spear and shield and angry-looking eyes, is a very scary experience, even for a person as powerful as Kamsa. So that for a while he got a glimpse of what is reality, because his false ego sort of stopped acting. Stopped acting. And therefore he saw a spark of truth. He was not speaking simply this to, as I said, Patau Vasudevan Devaki. He was not just doing that. He was actually speaking what was coming out from within. But after a while, just as you start getting feeling pain, oh, it's paining now, it's paining horribly. I need to go and talk to the doctor and take a painkiller or something. Similarly, very soon, after a while, we'll find that that benumbed false ego again becomes active. And it starts working under its influence in perpetuating his atrocities in Vrindavan. Through all these demons in our holy scriptures Kamsa, Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, we've always been explained that they are manifestations of the movements of the psychic events based on false ego. How every conditioned soul who harbors these same anarthas, which these demons are showing in a very magnified version. It is what is in our heart also. Just we have two parts of our heart. We have the higher self and the lower self, or as they say, the black dog and the white dog, or the good dog and the bad dog, the Sura side and the Asura side. So just that as two parts of our own consciousness, it is divided into two. Similarly, you know, when you put it outside of us, then you have two sides of two types of people in this world. The Asuras and the Suras. It's basically what is within, we see outside as two broad categories of people manifesting these two broad categories of consciousness. So, we read about demons and we read about devotees. So how does it apply to us? How do these persons become relevant? Whatever may have been event, historical event, way back into the, you know, into the valleys of time, way back into Satyuga and maybe the previous Satyuga and all that, how does it become relevant to a 21st century mortal? Well, the relevance could be at many levels, but the way in which, in reference to context which we are speaking right now, is that those demons, however back in posterity they were, we harbor those same tendencies which they are showing in a very magnified, very vivid, very graphic way. And we read about devotees on the same hand, about Prahlad and Dhruva, who also were into antiquity of time. How does Prahlad become relevant to a 21st century mortal? Because by reading his example, we know that we also have those same spiritual tendencies within us. So we are asked to hear about devotees, and we are also asked to hear about demons. Vrindavan is all about, you know, especially the first, the most interesting part of Krishna's Bala Leela, and even later on also, adult in Dwarka also, it's a constant thing about hearing about devotees and demons. The Brijbasis are reacting in a particular way to with Krishna, having interactions, and then there is also a demon there, Kamsa, Trinavarta, Vyomasura. So we can see that hand in hand, we are not being just given just one side, because we always will have this two sides to our consciousness. And because of the inherent quality of free will which we have, which Krishna has given us, we keep pendulating or oscillating between these two types of consciousness. Just like a clock has this pendulum which goes tick-tock, tick-tock like that. So also, we are being constantly exposed as practicing devotees, as sadhakas, to the one side of the pendulum where we are seeing a demoniac side, the outside world, which is manifesting those same Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Ravan tendencies outside. We can see that. And we come in Vaishnava Association, and we hear Vaishnava speak, we read scriptures, we have festivals, we go for yatras, and then we have the pendulum now is under the influence of the divine nature, the higher nature. So these are the basically the two parts of our own consciousness. Now, sadhana bhakti means to keep on increasing the influence of the divine nature. Keep on putting those inputs more and more and more so that the demonic side becomes gradually subdued. That is the purpose of sadhana bhakti. And when that asuric tendency is fully destroyed, then only the divine nature remains, then that person is a pure devotee of Krishna because he has no more lower nature remaining. The primary poisoning of the consciousness, just like we have the body, which can get poisoned. Or the Kalia Lake, Kalia Daha Lake was there. The water was pure. It is Yamuna water. How pure is Yamuna water? She is the purest of all waters, materially and spiritually. She is a descendant from the spiritual world. Yamuna Devi is coming from Golok Vrindavan. But there was a serpent there, Kalia. And by his residence there, he had made the whole pure water of Yamuna into a deadly poison, which could kill any amount of people. Similarly, our consciousness also is like that Yamuna. It is pure. But by a drop, just like a drop of poison in a milk, may look like milk, but it is poison. And if you drink it, you get poisonous effect. So the same consciousness which we have, Ichha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandva Mohina Bharata. The first poison which actually diffuses off into the consciousness is a poison of envy. The desire to enjoy is the disease and is manifested in the form of envy of the Lord. Every disease has a germ and its manifestation. Like you have a bacteria which hits you, or a parasite which hits you, and then you manifest fever as a manifestation. So the germ, the disease agent, which actually hits the consciousness, is desire to enjoy. And it manifests as all activities based on envy. So that's the way it happens. And this envy or the false ego percolates the entire being of the conscious of the individual. It infects the false ego, infects the intelligence, infects the mind, and fully infects all the senses. So the poison or the false ego permeates to the entire existence of a person. Just like the poison in the Yamuna is not just in one part of that lake. It is affecting every part of the lake. And in the neighboring trees, everything is affected. So also this poison, it hits all our levels of existence. Physical, mental, intellectual, and metaphysical as well. So, the whole purpose of spiritual life as performed by any process, whether it is by yogic processes or jnana process, whatever process is, to somehow subdue this false ego. The false ego is an interface between matter and spirit. How does the spirit soul, or does it from the spiritual sky, who has been, associated with spiritual personalities, interacting in spiritual ways with the Lord, and everything in the spiritual world is divine in consciousness, how come a spiritual spark can interact with matter? How can it really feel any sense of oneness with something which is dead? When it has always been associated with something which is always living, the trees, the water, everything is living, how come it can really misidentify itself from being a spiritual spark dealing with spiritual things, with now mundane things, matter, wood, stone, silk, gold, paper? How? That transition of interface between matter and spirit is the false ego. Just like the transition between the spiritual world and material world is the Viraj river. So everything spiritual till the viraj, from viraj onward starts material. So viraj is like the interface between matter and spiritual world. So also the viraj of our consciousness is the false ego, which is and as long as the false ego is there on the in between our material spiritual natures, we will always act on the platform of as Kamsa is acting. This is mine, this is yours. So what makes other processes of self-realization inferior to the process of bhakti is that they can't access the subtlemost part of the poison of the consciousness, that is false ego. They can't hit the conscious, they can't hit the false ego. They can at most do some asanas and make the body a little more resilient to outside forces. They may try with great dexterity to harness the restless mind through Brahmari and through Pranayam and such things like that. But even that is so difficult. But to access the false ego through the senses, through the mind, through the intelligence, and really go and really dismantle the power of the false ego is so difficult through any other process. And therefore, you find most people, even if they go up to a level of 60,000 years of practice, they still fall flat to the pleasures of the original poison. What is that? I am the enjoyer. That enjoyership never gets destroyed even in 60,000 years of unbelievable tapasya. And yet, when a great, beautiful damsel walks something into your life, that original poison, that I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer, has not yet been even touched. You have only gone to the superficial levels of sitting in front of fire and sitting in the snow and all that. So mind and senses are rigidly sort of kept in one place. But the basic poison which infects the consciousness has not been neutralized as yet. And therefore we find that all these yogic processes, they are somehow unable to really lift the consciousness to its highest level of perfection. Therefore they are all inferior forms of yoga. What makes bhakti so powerful is that it has means, it has devices whereby the first attack, the very first attack is on the false ego. It starts from there. It doesn't end there. It starts from there. When Mahaprabhu meets Sanatana Goswami at Dashavatamrita Ghat, the first thing, the most beautiful thing, the most powerful insight into self-realization is, like, I think Shamsundar Prabhu was there in our temple a few years ago, and he was saying that, we never heard this before. Now, they're also like seekers, Shamsundar Prabhu and Malati Devi and others, our first batch of devotees. They were also into Oriental philosophy. They were reading maybe this author, that author. So many authors are there in our country who have gained fame before Prabhupada. So they were also reading this and that, and Chinese and, you know, all Oriental type of things. But no one really spoke this. What was that? No one really spoke, when Mahaprabhu spoke to Sanatana Goswami, Jivera Swarup Hoy. Nityera Krishnera Nitya Das. This is such a powerful, powerful missile against the false ego. That you are not this body. In fact, it doesn't say that you're not the body. It doesn't say that you're not the body. It really starts over telling what actually you are, and everything else which you may think is all superficial, inconsequential, and ultimately unimportant. Jivera Swarup Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. That is our swarupa, our original nature is that we are all servants of Krishna. When these devotees in the first batch of Prabhupada's mercy, they heard this, it was absolutely revolutionary. Nothing like this was ever heard or would be heard in the future. And yet when we think about it deeply, yes, this is what we are.
everything which we all are thinking, they might be thinking, I'm American, or I'm a hippie, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. Whatever else we're thinking is absolutely, that's not what I am. I'm a massive illusion. The only thing I am is eternally. That means I was, I have to be, and I will be. There's never a time when I'm not supposed to be anything else. For all times to come, I am simply Krishna's servant. This is the one which, like the anti-inflammatory agent, destroys the inflammation in the consciousness created by the poison of false ego. Just like you have inflammation in your joint, arthritis, you take ibuprofen or aspirin. What are these drugs? They're anti-inflammatory. They remove the inflammatory substances. So as soon as the pure consciousness, just like Yamuna is inflamed by the poison of Kaliya, she's an inflamed state. In fact, it's not inflamed, just flames coming out from, practically flames coming from Kaliya's mouth. And the whole water is in an inflamed state. It's red, it's hot, it's fumes are coming out from Kaliya. It's in a state of inflammation. The whole water is inflamed. You cannot even imagine a water like that which is bubbling. But actually, Yamuna was bubbling. It is explained as bubbling with that poison. And fumes were coming out, which were going way high into the sky. And a bird flying was getting destroyed. So also, the enjoyership actually is the poison in the consciousness and creates an inflammation. So, bhakti, Mahaprabhu's mercy in the form of bhakti, are those beautiful means to destroy the inflammation of the consciousness. What is the most powerful antidote to this poison? Every poison in this world has an antidote. Right? Some man knows, some man doesn't know. But yes, a snake poison. Yeah, there is antidotes. I had a patient in Palghar, an elderly person, who was famous in his village for being a person who could remove snake poison. In villages, a lot of snakes. Of course, nowadays we find in cities also. How do the villagers deal with this? They don't have anti-snake venom and all that. They just have people who are trained in this art of mantras, and they can chant mantras and they can detoxify the body. And the poison will not rise to your heart or to your brain. It's water in your brain, you're dead. Finished. Right? So, the antidote to this false enjoyership is humility. Humility with the heart is the strongest power in creation. It is more powerful than false ego. The false ego is the most powerful material element, is it not? The mind is so powerful, we know. When the mind goes berserk, like in the case of Ravan or Hitler or Stalin, what the mind can do? An uncontrolled mind, like the mind of Hitler, what it was doing to mankind. An uncontrolled mind of Kamsa, what it was doing to the children of Vrindavan. How much bloodshed, warfare, and insanity comes up. The mind is uncontrolled. Is it not? So, that's the power of the uncontrolled mind. But we find that when the mind is controlled, it can do such wonderful things. Such wonderful things can happen. So, the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego, they work together. They work together. Now, when you put this antidote of humility, then it starts off by, like the first thing we do in the temple, when you come to the temple, the first thing we do when you come to the temple is to bow down. We do bow down to the devotees. What is that? That's an act of humility. So every activity which promotes humility is the means to destroy false ego. Therefore, the first step towards self-realization is tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasna. Pranipat is the first step towards self-realization. Why? Because you have to humble yourself before a great soul. And things start off from there. I am a fool. I don't know much. please instruct me. It starts off from there. So humanity can destroy even the most powerful element, false ego. Mind, intelligence is more powerful than mind, and false ego is the most powerful. But it can get subdued and crushed by power of humility. Right? And we can see in a graphic way in the life of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya how the highest reward of unprecedented nature was given to those devotees who manifested humility to a very high degree. Kalia Krishna Das was a person who was a rich person in Bengal. And out of his pure, humble heart, he felt that I must take the remnants of food of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal. In a very amazing project. Imagine that of a project to take. I want to go to everybody's house and say Hari Bol and take prasad in the house. But I want to take the remnants of the food of every Vaishnava in Bengal. It's amazing. Nobody can think like this. It's an unusual type of personality can think like this. Of course, devotees are unusual in so many ways. But here is a very unusual Vaishnava with an unusual desire coming out from his pure heart. And he would go to every devotee's house and offer them nice, bananas and mangoes and various fruits. And he said, please accept, please accept. He said, oh, very nice, thank you. Right. And then we know how he would devise various, how his intelligence was working. In the heart, when the mind is, when the consciousness is pure, the intelligence also becomes so pure, the intelligence scheming, how do I really get that skin now, which is, how do I get the remnants now? So, a thief is scheming, how do I really rob this bank? How is intelligence working in a devious way? But here is scheming, how do I really get now the remnants, So he goes and he hides somewhere and the devotees throw away the things and then he starts sucking on those skin. And it was explained that when he sucks that, his heart is erupting in a volcanic way with emotions of love. And that the volcanic eruption of his heart manifests as a stream of tears and manifests as horripilation and shaking of his body, and he becomes choked up and chants Krishna, 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 Krishna. He is just absolutely enraptured each time he takes the remnants of a Vaishnava's Mahaprasad. And this goes on. This desire is, he's inflamed sort of in a positive way. He's inflamed by the desire and the desire is unending and he wants to go everywhere and he goes to Jadu Thakur's house. And he goes with this beautiful, nice mangoes and said, oh, you have come, very nice. Thank you for coming to my house. He said, I brought this nice prasad for you. Please honor those mangoes. Jadu Thakur also was a Brahmin, but sort of a little lower category. Kalyati Krishna was not a very high category of Brahmin. He was very honored that such a high-class Brahmin has come to my home. And said, please accept this. They cut the mangoes and they ate the mangoes. And no one takes the skin. No one eats the seeds. They just throw into the backyard. And for hours, he's just waiting there under the, in the shade of the trees for the night to come. He didn't want to do it in a very obvious way to disturb everyone's, sense of, self-esteem. He just was hiding in the dark. Imagine just sitting there, just waiting to rob, to steal the wealth, which nobody would think of as has got any value. It is for the dogs and for the pigs who are wandering there in the village to just suck something which is on there, on it, and just, it's a refuse. It's for the garbage bin. But there, a Vaishnava knows what is really of value in this world. He knows that the value, what is the value of the skin which is sucked by a devotee. And he goes in the night and starts licking on the skin. Isn't that amazing? Somebody has been licked upon by somebody else. And you're licking the same thing. Because we think from our false ego. We may like the story, but we may not really think it is a very, very decent thing to do. Sucking on the same seed which somebody sucked by somebody else and really relishing it. Because there's no juice there. You're not getting any juice. The juice has been taken away by the person who had it first. What's remaining there is his saliva only. And that would dried up saliva. It is not even. So is saliva tasty? No, it is not. But what is in the saliva of a Vaishnava? in seeing a Vaishnav, in touching a Vaishnav, in any way, a Vaishnava is so pure. Hari Bhakti Suddhodaya says, Sanatana Goswami says that in just embrace a devotee, you get purified. Darshan pavitra karo, oi tumhara guna. You see a devotee, you get purified. You hear a devotee, you get purified. A devotee is a manifest embodiment of purity. Why? Because the embodiment of Krishna. That's why he's pure. And Krishna is pavitra. So you're sucking on that. And again, he had the same experience. And then he did something which was not done, not dared upon by anybody. Mahaprabhu enters Simhadwara gate, 22 steps up the beautiful mountain temple of Lord Jagannath. And he would wash his feet first at a particular place. That place is not longer there. You know, it's not identified there that this is the place, but the place was there. Now we have this, you know, they have this water fountain which is there, floor fountain. You just enter and then you go up. You see, there's a water body. You just walk through the water body of water. It is always getting recycled. And you walk through that and you go up. Maybe somewhere around there. It must have been there. And Mahaprabhu is washing his feet. And he had the courage to put his hand right down there at Mahaprabhu's feet to take the Charnamrita of Lord Chaitanya. And everyone was like, wow, what is this guy doing? This is something nobody would dare. Mahaprabhu was so strict. He was such a strict person. He was loving. But in his lovingness also had this sort of a strictness of an acharya. No woman would come close to him. They'd all have their pallus and he had this all very strict decor of a sannyasi. And nobody could do this. But he went and did that. Absolutely nonchalantly. And he had this one gulp. And then he put his hand again down there. Again he put his hand. Third time he had. Fourth time. He said, Mahaprabhu said, enough. This is enough. No more. Lord did not chastise him. Anybody else would have been there. He did that once when they were cleaning the temple at Gundicha temple. Mahaprabhu was cleaning with his shawl and all that. And somebody just came from behind and put water on Mahaprabhu's feet and then drank that. And Mahaprabhu got very angry. So the mother, look at this guy. Throw him out of here. What is he doing? Your Bengali Vaishnava is really doing all this nonsense. In Delhi, he was very happy, of course, but as an acharya. But here, he did not even manifest external anger. Actually, he was so pleased. And he drank that. And now his desire to have more. Ye dil mange more, they say, no? His heart was saying for looking for more. I want more mercy. And that particular day when the Lord was taking his prasad, and the remnants were all going to Sri Govinda, the personal servant. He would distribute among the other Vaishnavas who are always, I'm sure, hankering. And he was looking from the window. He was looking from the window of Gambira. When will Lord going to finish? And Lord in the heart of every devotee. Heart of all living entities. So this time the Lord said, give my remnants to Kalia Krishna Das. Right? So what is this? What is the story all about? As a manifestation, why is this devotee getting the highest mercy which no other Vaishnava in Gaur Leela got? Nobody got this privilege. Because he manifested humility to the most unprecedented degree. He was saying that he is so lowly, they can only get purified by the remnants of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, in our attempt to destroy our false ego, which is really the one which is the our worst enemy, and it infects the mind, and the mind becomes stubborn and chanchal, obstinate, and all that. So, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Bhakta Pada Dhuliyara, Bhakta Pada Jala, Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha, Tina Mahabal. These can destroy the false ego because they are Mahabal. They are extremely powerful. So, in the beginning of our bhakti, we start by taking the Lord's, the humility manifests, the taking the Lord's remnants. We take the Lord's, not Bhakta, but Bhagavan. We take the Lord's avashesh as prasad, right? Then every day when we go down to Afra Prabhupada's this thing, and the pot is always kept there, we have Charanamrita of the Lord. Right? And then we third thing we do is to bow down. Right? We always come to the temple and bow down to the Lord. Right? So Krishna said this. He wants this to be done. Specifically, he has prescribed this as a prescription among the four-point formula. Mam Namaskuru. Mam Namaskuru means taking the dust. Then Charanamrita is the Mam Namaskuru means remnants of the food. Then the Charanamrita, which is the foot wash of the Lord. And Bhakta Bhukta Avashesh. What is that third one? Dhula. So Dhula actually is when you bow down to the Lord. It's the Dhula. So that's the beginning of our humility stage. But as you get more purified, the devotee wants to go for, he sees that it is not just the Lord whom I should worship. In a Kanishtha stage, you may do that. But as you grow in your consciousness, you understand that the same, the devotee also like deities of the Lord. We also manifestations of the Lord. They're embodiments of the Lord's energy. They're pure Vaishnavas. So he starts doing the same thing for the devotees. He takes their remnants of food. He touches their lotus feet. And it takes the foot wash of theirs. Of course, this cannot be imitated. This is not cheap. This is not at all a cheap thing. As far as bowing down to the Vaishnavas, our Prayojana Acharya showed this, that he would bow down to deities every day 1,000 times. And Das Goswami was bowing down to Vaishnavas 2,000 times per day, with more obeisances to the Vaishnavas than to the Lord. Mam Namaskuru. So it's such a beautiful thing. So bhakti, all acts of bhakti are basically manifestations of humility. And when you do that, only then we can dismantle the false ego. Therefore, to plow this field, which is poisoned by the false ego, and therefore it leads to poisonous weeds are growing of lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. These are all growing into the field of our consciousness. So the antidote which we inject into this is service attitude. When we inject the antidote of service attitude into our consciousness, it starts minimizing the power of the false ego. And how do we get this? How do we get back our service attitude? It's our basic nature. We are Das. Das means he's a servant. He's supposed to serve. But we have lost the service attitude. How do we get that back? When we chant Hare Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna mantra, that activates again the dormant nature to serve. Without chanting Hare Krishna, we will remain into our activated state of enjoyership. That I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer. That remains very powerful, you know, mode of our way we think and act in this world. But the moment we chant Hare Krishna sincerely, my dear Lord, O Lord Krishna, my dear mother, Hara, embodiment of the Lord's internal energy, please engage me in your devotional service. So chanting Hare Krishna mantra is, why it is the most powerful means of Kali Yuga for purification? But more than any other process, Nam, Hari Nam, has the power to actually dismantle the false ego and activate the soul's real nature. As we know, the Mahamantra doesn't act just on the mind, doesn't act on the intelligence, it actually cuts through the mind. It cuts through the intelligence. Prabhupada said in the very first album, when he spoke about the Mahamantra, it actually goes and hits the false ego. It has got this such subtle power. It cuts through all the layers of our being and really goes and touches our soul. And destroys our false ego. And as it touches our soul, what happens? The service attitude gets activated. Then it starts doing activities of devotional service. And how does that start? Jivadav. Prabhupada says very clearly that our bhakti, in a more practical sense, starts from the tongue. So then you start chanting Hare Krishna mantra and starting the Lord's Prasad, Jiva Dao. The moment you start engaging doing that, all senses get purified. The mind gets purified. The consciousness gets purified. So we always want to do this. We want to always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the weapon for Kali Yuga, and it is this powerful means which Mahaprabhu has given us, Hare Ranam Eva Kevalam, which we have to simply depend on thoroughly. So all sadhana bhakti, all lectures, all readings are simply here to help us to make us chant better, to make us help increase our service attitude. The more we increase that, whether it's to book distribution or to deity worship or cooking for the devotees or whatever else, in whatever ways we are expected to do some service, you know, making wicks for the Lord, for the ghee lamp, or cleaning the floor of the temple, any activity of devotional service, when we're done with sincerity, along with chanting, these two things, devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna, these two are so beautiful that they have the combined power to destroy the false ego. When that is destroyed, then a soul's quality starts manifesting. The true glory of the soul, like the sun which is covered by clouds for millions of years, when the clouds are sort of shattered, the sun starts shining brilliantly and all beautiful qualities start manifesting. Prabhupada, the great acharyas, they are manifesting Krishna's qualities so beautifully in front of us, right? When Prahlad, Dhruva, then we identify, oh yes, what Prahlad, Dhruva were. So this is the importance of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, to know from Kamsa what we should not do, Hiranyakashipu from Ravana what we should not do, and from devotees like Prahlad and Dhruva, Bhishma, Pandavas, what we should do, what we should aspire to do, what we should try to follow in their footsteps. So when we have this balanced approach of identifying our negativities and fortifying our positivities, then gradually tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradually tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradually tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradually tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradually tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradual tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued, and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradual tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued, and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradual tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued, and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradual tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued, and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradual tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued, and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradual tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued, and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradual tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued, and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradual tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued, and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying fortifying our positivities, then gradually the tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way. And Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradually tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way. And Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Fortifying our positivities, then gradually tables will turn over. Negativities will get subdued and the positive part of Krishna consciousness will really come to the surface in the most brilliant way. And Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.